You're listening to VFN TV highlights at VFNKB.com. Enjoy.
I want to say, I want you to be able to follow, you know, Russ and Maeve Moyer on their own social media. We'll make that available to you on your site, but also your ministry. What your, it's Eagle Worldwide.
EagleWorldwide.com.
Eagle
That's our website.
Okay.
My email is bro.russ@eagleworldwide.com.
Okay.
And you can get us on the Facebook at Russ and Maeve Moyer. We want to be your friend.
Right.
We want to connect, make relationship with you if you're out there. And my wife has a real pastor's heart, and she went to Rhema Rhema Bible Institute. She's a woman of the Word, and she ministers a lot on Facebook and on social media.
Beautiful. It's a perfect way to do it.
In segments called Just to Ponder, Not to Preach.
Mm-hmm.
And we also do some podcasts on Tuesday and Thursday nights at 6 o'clock on the website, on the Russ and Moyer, Russ and Maeve Moyer website and Facebook site. So you feel free to.
What if somebody's in the region on the Gulf Coast and they need a personal ministry? Do you offer personal ministry, time of your gatherings or something of that nature?
Mm-hmm. We do deliverance sometimes right in our services and in your healing.
Mm-hmm.
Anytime that people come and visit the dwelling place, and we have glory encounters on Sunday night. People come from all different churches and they come to get a fresh anointing and bring it back home to their church. But if you come any time that we have a service, our altars are open for prayer, deliverance, for inner healing, for
So if they show up, do you mind them coming talking to you? If they show up, because a lot of times people are intimidated to come up and talk to the speaker.
I have a lot of, like I said, I do a lot of personal ministry, freedom ministry, to pastors and leaders and their family. And, you know, I went through a lot of deliverance and inner healing myself from all types of situations and problems, and I understand how people can get entangled in everything that's going on in the world, and we need help, we need one another, and anybody that needs that freedom ministry, we raise up teams,
you know,
to do that kind of ministry.
Well, I know one particular person that said they were called to be able to minister to pastors and help them out, and so he would give testimonies. He's like, yes, I went over to Pastor so-and-so and I helped Pastor so-and-so. He was struggling with this, and I went over to Pastor so-and-so and he was struggling with that. And I'm thinking, like, I don't think that's going to be good ministry if you're taught. So if they come to you, if a pastor comes to you, can they come to you in confidence and as a brother?
They do.
Member?
And the two things that I think are very important,
because a lot of pastors
about
feel
doing freedom ministry.
They feel isolated and they think, there's nobody going to minister to me.
And the two things that I think are most important about doing freedom ministry and personal ministry like that, and deliverance and inner healing, is first to be able to trust the people that you're working with. That you're coming to, that it'll be something that'll be done in confidence and that'll be handled with discretion.
Mm-hmm.
And also that you minister to someone else in a place of compassion and love. I have to remember all the time, and everybody does, you know, that we need to minister to one another in love. Mm-hmm. We may want to do battle in the spirit with the sword of the spirit, that is the word of God, against the enemy. But we also need to do work with one another, with the town, wipe one another's feet, and work with each other with love and compassion. You know, because we all have struggles, we all have battles. There's nothing wrong with a pastor going through a battle. It's them staying there and allowing the enemy to isolate them until this thing manifests into something that's really bad. We've got to learn to deal with things at an early place and find a safe place.
So it won't show up on your Facebook, and I was thinking, like, this is before deliverance, this is after deliverance, right? I always said if there was Facebook around, they wouldn't need a Judas, because they would just take a shot. This is Jesus crying out for all men's soul at the Garden of Gethsemane. This is him going. I mean, I'm saying they expose so many things in the church that
I have a lot of people that will get up and tell their story about how God set them free, and give their testimony. But a lot of people don't, because of their position and status, whether it's in the church or in the Christian community. And that's really up to the individual. You know, that person has to feel comfortable to do that in a place they can. A lot of time it's just a person, it's just a privacy thing. And it's something between them, and they know that God set them free. And that's the important thing.
I know at Brownsville Revival, I know we're going to close here, but the Brownsville Revival, It was many pastors that got saved because they received it from their biological father, the ministry, or it was handed to them, but they never knew God. But you don't know God until you actually meet God and encounter Him. Then you find out, like, I don't know what I've been doing, but that ain't God. This is God, you know, type situation.
There's a lot of people that went into ministry and they were called by their mama instead of calling by God.
Yes.
That's not good.
It's not good.
And what you really need to do is to get that personal encounter with God.
Right.
We need a real power encounter, and we need to seek Him for that.
Yes.
It's real important. In the Toronto Blessing, mm-hmm. Which was also a wonderful move, but a very different move of the Spirit than what happened at Brownsville.
Right.
Even though they were connected and that kind of thing, it was a different manifestation of the Father's heart. But so many pastors came and received the inner healing that they needed. Yeah. Because most pastors that I meet, they've been through a lot of battles and they've been through a lot of things. And they're hurt, and their families sometimes are hurt. Mm-hmm. You know, pastors are leaving the ministry on an incredible basis every month.
Thousands upon thousands.
It's a difficult calling.
Yes, it is.
And you got to be called to it.
Yeah.
And you got to get help, and you got to get outside of your circle, and you got to be able to reach people and let people know when you're hurt.
Right.
The enemy tries to isolate us and keep us separated.
Right.
And then the next thing you know, all kind of other things happen.
Right.
It's time for us to know and to be vulnerable enough and to have enough trust to visit people who can help us.
You know, so many pastors are caught with this false concept of saying, well, if you're pastoring, then your family should be perfect. Remember, they tell you you're supposed to be perfect. But the reality is, statistically, most people, they took a survey that pastors, families feel like the family itself feels like the worst thing that ever happened to them was their father becoming a pastor. They become more divided. And of course, the enemy comes after that family. You know, he wants to just to divide. Any family's attacked. That's a major thing that happened. You know, some of those dangerous things to be is a PK, because the jealousy that happens, the perceived thoughts of going on, and then, you know, and
the pastor's walking around in guilt because he thinks his family's not in alignment. But, you know, you can't. You know, you can't control all those issues, and the enemy's hard at work, and you can't let that disqualify you.
It didn't disqualify
especially
God.
Especially when you're dealing with adult children that are starting to live their own life. And most children, a lot of children in North America, go through teenage situations, young adult situations, different places in their journey. Mm-hmm. And I know I did, and a lot of other people that do. And what we need to do is to be strong, pray them back in, have an open heart, receive them where they're at, meet them, and know that we love them unconditionally, and that we're ready with open arms to receive them back when they're ready to come home. Yeah. You know,
and be careful to say anything.
Yeah.
Your words are so powerful. You can say things in a time of hurt, a time of rejection, and you want to respond that way, but you're literally building a wall up between you and your child coming back to the Lord, because those words are going to be hard to get over. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So even though you want to say something, you just need to love and pray and be consistent. Be with them where they are, at the place that they are.
And you got to remember that when whatever it was that took them out there, now went through all these things, and they were saying things, and they did things, and everything they said and everything they did, they're going to have to unwind that.
Yes.
In order for that to happen, they're going to have to feel that you love them and that you're okay and you're a safe place.
Yeah.
So you got to love them in that moment
so
much more than you do in the typical family leave it to Beaver situation. You know, and we have to understand that we're in a world and we're in a battle and we're in a fight, and there's going to be casualties.
Right.
And they're going to be close to us, and it's going to be people that we love.
Yeah.
And we have to be there for them.
Mm.
And it's important. I mean, I've had problems with my own children.
Mm-hmm.
Raising children is the most wonderful joy that I've ever had in my life. I helped to raise two of my father's children. My mother died at 42. Mm. And I raised my godson. I raised two of my own children. Pastor and Maeve has two children. We have 12 grandchildren. It's the greatest joy and the greatest gift that God could give you, other than salvation, but it's also the greatest challenge.
Yeah.
And
because you love.
Yeah. And one of the, you talked a little bit before about relationship, mm-hmm. and I remember once I was going through a challenge with my son, and my son has always been just a great kid, wonderful kid, mm-hmm. a great adult, wonderful father, businessman, all that kind of stuff. And I found him talk to me one day like I was his buddy, mm-hmm. like I was his friend. And I said, hey, hold the phone. I said, I want you to know that God entrusted me to you mm-hmm. And you to me, mm-hmm. that I'm your father. Mm-hmm. I'm not your friend. Right. I have to keep that right place of relationship. Mm-hmm. I want to be friendly with you. Mm-hmm. You need friends. Mm-hmm. But God ordained me your father.
You need a father.
You need a father.
Yeah.
If you make me your friend, then you won't be able to see me as your father.
Yep.
I'm going to be your father, and you're going to be my son as long as I'm taking breath.
That's good.
So I want you to, let's maintain the right balance in our relationship.
Right.
And he is a fine, fine man and a wonderful parent, a good businessman.
Mm-hmm.
But you go through different moments and times and dynamics of relationships mm-hmm. and in ministry, the battles that go with it, and the complexity of what we're trying to do here in America.
Mm.
I mean, we live in a very complex society, and you know, all kinds of things are going on, all kind of identity issues and problems, and we have to be there and be open mm-hmm. and be real and be willing to discuss them mm-hmm. openly, not just with our children and not just in the privacy in our home, because the family model is the local church. So we have mm-hmm. to discuss serious issues that are going to get real and going to bring light into that dark area where the enemy likes to work and shine the light of the Holy Spirit in there. And let's deal with real issues like real people. Let's deal with real issues like real people. And things
it's real weird because they hear this all the time outside of the church, but something says you can't say it in the church. Like it is so literally, you're repressing the very thing, the place they need to hear the most is right there in the context of truth.
That thing that's saying you can't say it in here.
Right.
That thing's called religion. We might as well give it a name. A
religious spirit.
You know, we need to really discuss legitimate issues that are going on. Legitimate relationship situations, and we got to begin to mentor and parent mm-hmm. This next and this new generation.
Right.
In order to do that, this ain't no masquerade party.
Right.
They're looking for a relationship. They're struggling because of all the social media.
Yeah.
They're struggling relationally.
Silicon Valley.
They need somebody to actually talk to them, to hug them,
real
to touch
person.
Them. Yeah. Some of these young people have never really been touched. They've never been embraced.
Yeah.
They don't know a father. They come from a fatherless family, a fatherless generation.
Yeah.
They need the heart of a father. They need they need somebody to hug them. And men need men.
They sure do.
You know what I mean? We keep on calling men into the church, and everybody's crying out, a man in the church. But you know what? When I come into church, mm-hmm. you got to know I'm bringing my manhood with me.
Right?
So you got to let me be a man.
Right.
And I thank God for all the women in the church that are worship and prayer and ministry, and they've been carrying the battle for a long time. But men need men.
They do.
And we need to be real men, and we need to be able to talk like men, and to worship like men, and to be men.
Right.
And it's so that we can be a man in our in our families,
society,
in our
society, community.
We need each other.
The testosterone rate right now, Charles Simpson just said this, is dropped by 10% globally.
And that's legitimately?
That's what gets legitimate.
What?
10%, right?
Yeah. Well, that's the whole thing. Trying to happen to the maleness,
emasculation spirit mm-hmm. over the earth, and so. But the men. I think men. We have a natural tendency to honor, so we'll honor somebody as they're destroying the family, or we'll honor them as they're emasculating us, because mm-hmm. we're just kind of a sense of like, you know, I don't want to embarrass that person. I don't want to say something. But if you don't say something, you don't have something left when it's all over.
I spent most of my life in the locker room.
Okay.
You know, playing sports, football, baseball, boxing, all kinds of sports. Right. I've been in a locker room, golfing, country clubs, mm-hmm. most of my life in the locker room with men. Men need men. We need to be real. We need to talk. We need to talk to one another. Mm-hmm. We need to talk about men issues.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's important, mm-hmm. you know, that fathers and sons be able to have man-to-man relationship and talk, right. Mm-hmm. But we need that whole dynamic within the church.
Right.
There's a lot of pressure on being a man today.
You're so relevant. The man is so relevant. The very last thing in the old covenant was, before the great and dreadful day of the Lord comes, I will send Elijah, and he will turn the hearts of the fathers, the sons and the sons of the fathers. Jesus is birthed and born and moving in his ministry in the spirit of Elijah, and it's the father's role, because if you mess up what a father is, then you mess up who God is, you know? And so we need you in your role. Statistics say if you leave the home, if you leave the family, I know everything's, I'm telling you to leave, but if you leave, I fall apart. I go into poverty, I go to jail, I have a pregnancy, I go, all these things. I mean, you're so significant that everything in society right now, maybe you're a man right now, you're listening, you're thinking that everything's coming in on you. You know why? Because everything's coming in on you. The narratives, the schools, the media, everyone's saying you're irrelevant, this toxic masculinity. But the truth is, that's how important you are. But you're going to need other men to be around. You know, for 10 years, Russ, we took the fathers and sons and fatherless sons in the wilderness for 10 years prophesying the Malachi mandate. And we watched what happened with all these men, and God brought all the seven spheres of culture out there, government, military, everybody, we're all out there. And they'd come together, and fathers would repent for not being the fathers they should have been. And fatherless children were getting to find out what it's like to be around fathers. Little kids called it Disney World. It was so awesome having all these men and fathers, thousands. And so I remember I was bushed one night. We were worn out one night. Everybody's in their tents and they're sleeping. And I was by the campfire with a couple of the volunteers, just worn out. And this little boy comes up. He's a small little boy like this. He gets on my knee and he climbs up my leg and he lays his head on his chest, on my chest like this. And I'm just like this. And then he puts his head on my heart. And then he comes back and he looks up at me. And then he puts his head back on my heart again. A couple times where I'm like, it's melted my heart. He just wanted to know what it was like to be close to a father. That's what everybody... Russ Taff is a musician. I don't know you, Russ Taff is a Christian musician. Powerful anointing, falling apart his whole life. He never had a father. He had a real abusive situation. The family was crazy. He was a pastor. His father was a pastor, but he was... Somebody just pointed him out and said, you're going to preach tonight. And that's how he started his ministry. That kind of thing, like your mother calls you. And so he was an alcoholic. He wrestled. He would abuse the family, beaten. So Russ spent his whole amazing gift and career just falling apart. But it wasn't until this man, till he accepted this man as a father in his life, not his biological father, but a spiritual father, and he blessed him. The man that was going to be with the Lord within 60 days, and everything was healed in his life at that one moment, because he never was affirmed. I mean, even Jesus didn't start his ministry until his father said, this is my son publicly, not privately. Hey, you're my son. This is my son in whom I'm well pleased. And that's before he started any of his ministries. It wasn't about what he was going to do. And so there's so many fatherless sons in ministry, fatherless sons that are married.
That's true.
And God's got to answer for that. You know, maybe your biological father wasn't a father to you, but there's spiritual fathers like Russ and myself and others. I know the pastor John Kilpatrick. Oh, there's fathers everywhere that God has gifted to father you. Paul said, we got 10,000 teachers, but very few fathers, but for I'm your father in Christ Jesus. You can actually have somebody who fathers you in the Lord, and you're going to need that, because they don't put you in jail for not being the right kind of father, not being the right man, but they won't tell you how to do it. Mm-hmm. So you need to get connected with somebody. I encourage you to take that step. I mean, that's kind of our passion for our generation, is to be able to speak in the lives of the next generation. And you can start it, but if you start it without having a wrong viewpoint of the father, it can just really get all crazy on you. So I want to encourage you, one of the most important things you could do as a man is to get other men in your life. You know, get a father in your life, a spiritual father, not somebody who cares about you, not just what you do, and that they're with you through all that, and you could be with them. There's nothing like being sent by a father, because when something goes wrong, and it does, it's your apostolic father, or the father's going to say, I know him, that's not him, I could step into that situation, I don't care how big your ministry is, and they could be there with you. You wouldn't be all alone, tied down to some crazy thing that's going on. There's just so many, just not only that, just having the relationship. It's just so cool, just to be able to hang out and all.
I appreciate you having me on and to be part of what you're doing and the way you're reaching the nations and the way you're open to hearing about the power of God, the presence of God, the prophetic call, the apostolic. Somehow or another, this message has to go around the world. Yeah. Apostles and prophets have to learn to walk together, work together, serve together.
Right.
We need to be building bridges, you know, to one another and walking together. I appreciate you and the call that's on your life.
Thank
you so much for having me and to let me be a part of what you're doing. Thank you.
Well, we appreciate you. We're so grateful that you're on the Gulf Coast, that you said yes to God.
Yes.
And I got so many awesome things I'm seeing in the future that's going on. I got so many people I want to introduce you to. And even play golf, if you don't mind a hook and a slice.
No, I like to play. But I'm feeling so good. I'm playing, you know, when I'm down here, I'm trying to play once a week or so.
And wow.
Good little exercise.
I'm good at driving the car and laughing at shots, but if you don't mind a 250 or 260 on the course, I'm really good at it. I got a handicap of 200.
I like to bang it around and just enjoy myself out there. There are beautiful golf courses here. There's beautiful beach. This is a wonderful area, and it's actually one of the great spiritual gateways in the earth, and that's what the war is about here.
Yeah.
God's
going to
do something very dramatic in this region, and all of the great prophetic words that came were prophetic words over Pensacola. I know that there were a lot that were over the Brownsville Assembly Church, and just like it is with Israel and the church, every prophecy over Israel is yea and amen, and the same with the church, and the same with Brownsville. There are some prophecies there, and that's there. But He spoke about the city of Pensacola and the outpouring in this city, and the best is yet to come.
Yeah.
He has not shut off the valve. He's not done with Pensacola. Don't think you're the only prophet in Pensacola. There's a lot of them around.
Right.
They're just now coming out and just being bold now.
Right.
He's sending these prophetic voices in with a purpose and a reason because they need that warfare anointing and those declarations and proclamations. The best harvest ever is yet to come in this region.
Wow, it's powerful. I want to encourage you, you know, we're closing out right here in prayer. Don't get in agreement with things that are negative against what God's doing. Listen, God is a good God. He's got good plans. He wants to save people. The church, you can bless the church. You can pray for them and hang out with them. You got to love her. She's the church. And understand the good. I think the glory's on. The Lord showed me from Destin, the Mississippi, which is Pensacola's in the middle of that. God's going to do something so big.
Ooh.
That like the Lighthouse prophecy, 700 ministers will be ministering side by side, not jealous, working together.
Come on.
Hundreds of thousands of people at one time ministering, each of them, as they're gathering around the world to come and get the firebrand and care back to your nations. And it's going to happen. God's bringing people together right now. We've had several of them on the program. God's shown us, even all from Nigeria. Somebody's come and said the very same thing that God laid on my heart. And so He has good things in store for the world, for America, and for the Gulf Coast. So don't forget to be in agreement with that. We appreciate your prayers. But I want to say, listen, thank you so much for joining us. We really enjoyed this wonderful time with Russ Moyer. You get to know him and his wife, Mae. Follow them on their Facebook and their ministry. They're just good people. You want to hang out. You want to talk. You want just a friend. And also anointed pastor, prophet, apostle.
Brother.
Brother. That's right. I like that. He's a brother. And just a good people. I want to pray with you right now. Father God, I just thank you for each and every one of our members of our audience around the world, our family, God. Lord, that they would be encouraged by our conversation, God, that you would take it and you would use it in a way that your anointing could just break the yoke that's over their life, Father God. The deliverance that they need in their life would come now in the name of Jesus, God. We just pray the blood of Jesus over them right now, Father God. We send forth your angels, God, to minister, your agents, your enforcers, Lord, to deliver your church, to deliver your people for the victorious church you called us to be, Father God. And we ask you for your glory, Lord, just to fall, Father God, in a special way. We speak healing over that person right now who needs healing in their body, whether it's your heart, whether it's your mind, whether it's your emotions, whether it's your back, whether it's your left arm. I just speak healing in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. And don't forget how easy it is. Let's ask God to do this first. We always do this. Dear God, end abortion. Send revival. Send a third great awakening, we pray. In Jesus' name. And don't forget how easy it is. Love God, love others, and lead others to the same. And we'll see you in the VFNKB community.
You've just been listening to the highlights from the VFN TV and the daily radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNKB.com. And don't forget about our VFNKB app. No matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share it with your friends. Connect and sign up for the next webinar or attend our next summit at VFNKB.com. VFN TV and the daily radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light.